Thank you, Joyce. Appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Anybody need a worksheet? Did not get a worksheet? Raise your hand. Well, down here in the front. All right. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 11. We were singing that, you keep your hands up until they get to you. We were singing that song, Christ, There Is No East and West. You know, independent Baptists tend to be so separated. Sometimes we can't hardly fellowship with anybody. And there, you know, that church, those church mice can't fellowship with our church mice, you know, and those kind of things. We need to have discernment. And I believe in ecclesiastical separation. And I'm not going to, you know, I'm not getting all that, make somebody mad before I ever get started. But, you know, there's some folks that, you know, don't believe that Jesus Christ died and paid for all their sins. Well, we'll even say that, but you got to add this and this and this and this and this and this. And I'm not going to endorse all those kind of things. On the other hand, just because everybody doesn't practice the American way doesn't mean that it's wrong. You go to Philippines, you're gonna see the guy standing and preach in a Hawaiian shirt and some khakis and so forth, and that's the way they live. But if, you know what, if you live in that human area, you dress a little different too. And so, you know, I think we should do our best, give our best to the Lord. That's the point. But there's no place in the world in the Bible says that man should wear a tie. Now, I wear a tie. I think I want to give my best, and I think you should give your best. But we got to be careful. You know, I mean, we make some rules when the guys have some kind of sense of uniformity in the choir. So they all have jackets and ties. Same thing with the ushers. And we, the ladies, are wearing dresses. And then there's modesty. And there's all those issues are part of it. But, you know, there was a time in America where it's almost as if, well, I can't fellowship with you because you're black. Or I can't fellowship with you because, you know, you're Hispanic. And the fact is, we better get ourselves ready, because we get to heaven, you never know who's going to be moving into your neighborhood. And it's going to be there a long time. And we got to realize that we're saved. And notice the one line there said, join hands then, brothers of the faith, wherever your race may be, who serves my Father as a son is surely kin to me. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We have the same Father. We're adopted. I've known some families. Well, I don't want to, you know, bring anything out here, but you know, the Eckenrodes, you know, AJ's one of the family. Now, he doesn't really look like the rest of the family, but he's one of the family. You know, he's much of the family of our church as he is anybody else, and he's just as much a family of the Eckenrodes as anybody else. And so that's the way it is. And we need to remember that, and that's part of what we're talking about here tonight. And let's read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 11. And my introduction will help remind us of the wherefore here. But wherefore, in other words, something we've already said here, wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. He says, before we get on our high horse, remember where we came from here, because, you know, we were all Gentiles. We had no business coming to God. He's Jehovah. He's the God of the Israelites. He said that we were aliens. We weren't part of the promises he gave Israel. That was to him. Watch what he says, having no hope and without God in the world. In general, we as Gentiles, we have no right to that. But, verse 13, now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one. Both sides of all this, the whole bunch of us, one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And by the way, if he broke down the wall of partition, we shouldn't be putting it back up. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the anger, the enemy status, so to speak, if you will, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Preached peace to both of them, whether you're far or near, wherever it is, he preached peace to you. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. But therefore, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. This is Ephesians is a very doctrinally full book. But a lot of times where we get ourselves in trouble, I find, is because there's nothing wrong with having good preaching and so forth. And the message like this morning, you know, I mean, there was truth in there and so forth. It's very practical. And we need to hear those kind of messages. But sometimes if we're not careful, we can hear message after message after message like that. And after a while, we forget the truths that we base all these messages on. The truth that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. That it wasn't me. I was saved by grace. You were saved by grace. The Jews are saved by grace. Whoever they are, if they're saved, they were saved by grace through faith. And there's some basic things. In fact, we forget we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We can't forget that. Now, brothers and sisters have sibling rivalries. Brothers and sisters don't always get along. Brothers and sisters are going to see things a little differently. Sometimes they vie for the attention of the parents. Sometimes they think, I'm a little better. I'm the good kid. You're the bad kid. All kinds of stuff goes on in between brothers and sisters. But the fact is, we're brothers and sisters. Same blood flows through our brain, our veins. And when we're saved, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all our sin. We're new creations in Christ. We must. Listen, I'm not an ecumenicist. I'm not. In fact, I get accused of being a little too separated. And I understand that. But the fact is, if they're saved, they're our brothers and sisters of Christ, whether you agree with it or not. You may not like hardly any of their practices, but if they really, truly are saved by grace through faith, they're saved by grace through faith. Now, they'll know that we're right when we get to glory, but we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we've got to make sure we watch ourselves in the way we handle our relationships. So let's have a word of prayer. We're going to talk about one new man. One new man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the new life you give us in Christ. We thank you for that you determined to adopt us according to the pleasure of your goodwill, to adopt us into the family. And if we're children, then we're heirs. And if we're and heirs, and we can even be joint heirs with Christ, we're willing to suffer with him. We have the inheritance of glory. We have the presence of your Holy Spirit inside of us. We're sealed unto the day of redemption. We have that grace to live day by day. And Lord, may we view the church and all its members as you view it. You died and paid for every single one. Now, Lord, we need you. Speak to our heart. May your Holy Spirit move because he's the one that teaches. And we give the praise in Christ's name. Amen. You've heard the saying, I heard something on Friday night at the CF banquet, but Miss Lisa Garlick, who runs the York CEF, was telling one of these little boys and girls, they said, now you realize, she was telling about one of the workers or somebody was telling this little boy, you realize if you had been the only one ever born, Jesus would have come and died for you
And that's true. That means that person that's saved that you don't particularly like, if they were the only one born, God, Jesus would have come and died for them. Would you have? Jesus would have. But they asked this little, they said to this little boy, said, you know, if Jesus had, if you were the only one ever born, Jesus would have come and died for you. And the little boy kind of stood, kind of stared off a little bit and thought for a second and says, that means I would have had to nail him to the cross. The fact is, if we had only if we had been the only one ever born and he would have died for us, then that means it is our sins alone, if nobody else's, that nailed him to the cross. God has a plan that as many as will come to him, he will save them. Through God's foreknowledge, he knows who will be saved. He knows who will decide to come to him and who will not. Yet the decision is up to us. Now those that God knows that will come to him for salvation, God has predestined, predetermined them unto the adoption of children. And through the salvation provided by Jesus when he died in our place, and this is all according to the good pleasure of God's will. Now we're not fit to come into the presence of God, much less be adopted as his child. But he has made us accepted through the redemption by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's all. You realize not one of us would be part of the family if it wasn't the fact that Jesus died and paid for our sins. God didn't say, oh, they're too good. Let's just let them come in anyway. It took the blood of Jesus. Not only are we saved, but God has predestined us to be conformed into the image of Christ so that we can bring others to Christ. So not only should we have the signs of salvation, faith toward God and love toward God and man, but we should also be seeing the signs of sanctification in our lives, the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of God, which enlightens all our understanding and opens our eyes to the riches of the glory of our inheritance as saints. We've been learning about this. And God's desire is to gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him that we should be to the praise of his glory, in other words, the proclamation of all that God is, and that means both Jew and Gentile, whether alive or whether dead. God is not the God of the dead, but he's God of the living. Remember they talked about that. He's the God of Abraham. Abraham's already in heaven. He's his God up there. He's our God down here. And in the middle of all this, God's going to bring all this together. Whether they're already in heaven or whether we're still down here, he's going to bring us all together as one. And that means both Jew and Gentile, whether dead or alive, are to be in Christ. No matter what our background is, God wants us. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, we've talked about last week, reminds us that we're all sinners. We have all walked according to the course of this world in times past. Whether we were out there in the midst of as bad as this person or bad as that person, we don't need to go into details and split hairs. The fact is, we lived by our own flesh, by our own reasoning, trying to fulfill what we wanted to do, and we did our own thing. If you've ever disobeyed mama or daddy, you've done it. So let's, you know, we all get off our high horse and just realize we're all sinners. You know, no matter how bad it is or how little it was, we're all sinners. We've all walked according to the course of this world in times past. We've all lived in the lust of our flesh and were by nature the children of wrath like everyone else, which we've already learned. We were all dead in sins together, but Christ raises us up together, makes us to sit in the position of heavenly things, that in the ages to come we might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You realize we're not only going to show the exceeding riches of his glory here, but I think on the other side. So why? I don't know, but the fact is we're going to bring glory to him up there. I mean, he's still God. He's still the greatest. He's still wonderful. He still died for us. The fact is, you know, 10,000 years will just be started, you know. And we've been then there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. There's no less days to sing his praise than when we've just begun. In fact, before we get too high and mighty, we need to remember Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. If you haven't memorized those verses, those are several good verses, especially if we're trying to lead somebody to the Lord. For by grace, undeserved benefit, are you saved. Through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are created in Christ Jesus. We are made a new man in Christ Jesus. This is not innate in us. This is not our nature. This is something new. He's made us, he's regened us. We're created as new people. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. There's no way we could ever work our way. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, right? What's he going to say is, listen, if we become saved, we start Holy Spirit starts living through us, then we actually can start doing what the law was intending us to do all along. So you're talking about keeping the law. Now, listen, there's some people who are saved, and they still want to make sure everybody knows that they're saved by trying to keep the law and look good. Now, we should be keeping the law, but not to keep the law to look good. It should be a natural thing. Well, I don't cheat, don't steal, and don't lie. Good. But you don't have to worry about what you don't do if you will take care of this one do. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy neighbor, and thy neighbor as thyself. If you love him, you're not going to steal from him. If you love him, you're not going to steal his wife. If you love him, you're not going to lie to him. If you love him, you're not going to covet what he has and want it for yourself. You're going to be glad he has it. You take on those two laws of loving God supremely and others as himself, hang all the law and the prophets. It all right there. And we cannot do it unless the Holy Spirit does it through us. So all of us have walked in the flesh in times past, are saved purely by the grace of God and not of works, as any man should boast. And in fact, we are recreated, regenerated, and thus the workmanship of God. And that is where any good things in our lives come from. Let me give you number one. Remember something here. Remember where you came from. Remember where you came from. Let me say letter A there. We have no right to be called family. No right to be called family. How in the world, listen, why in the world? How in the world do we have the right to call Yahweh, the supreme God of all the universe, the creator of heaven and earth, call him Daddy, Abba Father? We have no right. In your passage there, it says, Ephesians 2:11 says, wherefore, remember that ye, y'all, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. We were the ones on the outside. We were the unacceptable ones. You see, you said, you weren't circumcised. So we, listen, you're filthy, you're defiled, you can't be part of the family of God. We were on the outside. By the way, some years ago, there was a group with the initials KKK. Yeah. And you know what? They wanted to claim their superiority through the Bible. And to the fact that they wanted to persecute Jews. But the fact is, we're the Gentiles. We're the ones on the outside. Not the Jews. In fact, through the Jews came the Savior. God's going to bless them that bless Abraham. And he's going to curse them who curse Abraham. There again, see, somebody had propagated some heresy year after year after year. It went down generation after generation, not based on this book, based on hate. We were the one in the house. Look at verse 12. That at the time, at that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens, estranged, non-participants, from out of town, if you will. We're on the outside. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, the citizenship, the community of Israel, and strangers. We were seen, watch, not only seen as strange, but we were from out of town. We were seen as strange because you're not from around here. We listen, there's some peculiarities about Jews, but there should be some peculiarities about Christians. We are a peculiar people. We're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to be like everybody else. He says, and they're seen as strange from the covenants. Watch, they were aliens and strangers from the commonwealth, from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Listen, we weren't part of the promises. God gave that to Abraham and his descendants, not us. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, originally that was to them. Gentiles were not part of the citizenry or the community that was originally given the promises of the covenants of God. We are the outsiders. We were not there when the deal was made, and now we are trying to get in on the deal after the fact. Letter B, we had no hope. We got this, and by this, we realize who we are. We'll get off our high horse and we'll really have a nice family. By the way, we have a pretty good family around here. We really have a pretty good family, and I'm just glad, but we got to remember where we came from. Letter B, no hope. The hope was given to the people of Israel. We were not given the promises that come with a relationship with God, so thus we are without hope because we are in the world and without God. We had no hope for the pardon of sin of the past or for a life to come in the future or for the help in the present. We had no hope. We were living in the mess of the world. We're talking about Gentiles. Here we are, kind of all of us here, our ancestry. We were living in the mess of a world all by ourselves without God. And even if we thought we had the world on a string, we didn't. We were out without hope. Let us see. There should be no schism or contention in the body, especially the body of Christ. There should be no schism or contention. I won't get through it. We won't look at it. But remember the verse says, only by pride cometh contention. There is just... people ought to be able to walk, and they do. But if we're not careful, I'll tell you, all it takes is a couple bad days, and before long, everything. Listen, your family can have been going along just fine. Your marriage could have been going along just fine. And there's a couple bad days. And all of a sudden, the fellowship is dead. The sparks are flying. Either that or everything's quiet. You walk in the room, and nothing's being said. You want dinner? Yes. Sit down. Good night. And a week ago, everything was fine. Same thing can happen within a church. All we got to do is get our feelings hurt. All we got to do is think they said something about us. And we've got a problem. That relationship, there should be no contention within the body. I'm going to show you why what we're getting here. We have no hope. We were the one. Listen, I love my mama, but she raised a helpless boy. I need a wife. My wife knows I need a wife. I think the phrase is, man, it's not good for man to be alone. I think he was just trying to be nice because it's supposed to say it's not good for Sterling to be alone. He just blowed on everybody else just so I didn't feel so bad or something. I don't know. But I need a wife. And when I realize how much I need a wife, I'll probably treat a little better. We realize how much we need each other. We realize none of us earned our way. It's for, listen, not by works, lest any man should boast. That's the context here. We don't need any boasting.
Well, look how spiritual I am. Well, I've done so and so and so and so and so and so. Well, I've done this and this and this.
By the way, most people who are telling you how much they've done really aren't very spiritual. If you're trying to prove how spiritual you are, it's because you're wondering about it yourself. Why don't we just let people watch you? By their fruit ye shall know them. Just be. Well, they won't know what a great person I am if I don't tell them. Yes, they will. And by the way, once you tell them, then they're going to know how great you are. God lifts up. God puts down. Faithful a little, God makes you ruler over much. We don't need to be blowing our own horn, patting ourselves on the back. What we need to do is just do it. Well, as soon as I get asked, then I'll start doing it. Well, then you're not doing it for a pat on the back. Why don't you just do it? If his job needs to be done, well, we all just jump in and do it. Well, if someone needs to be loved, just love on them. There should be no schism or contention in the body. Only by pride cometh contention. Pride means that we think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And as soon as we think too highly of ourselves, we begin to think less of others. Letter D. There should be no pride. No pride. The Gentiles should not look down on the Jews, and the Jews should not look down on the Gentiles. We both got our issues. We both have our issues. We all have our faults. We have all walked according to the flesh. Listen, you might have the publicans and the harlots who we all know were sinning, but they were walking according to the flesh. But then we have the Pharisees who Jesus said, well, the publicans and the harlots will go into the kingdom before you do. But we're keeping the law. We tithe and all these things. And he says, no. See, you're walking according to the flesh too. You see, there is the lust of the eyes, thieves. There is the lust of the flesh. So you got the lust of the eyes, that's the publicans, right? The publicans were the tax collectors taking more than what they were supposed to get. The lust of the eyes is the desire to have. Then they have the lust of the flesh, the harlots. That's the desire to experience. And then they have the pride of life, the Pharisees. All that's in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It's all sin. We just coming from a different angle. Not focused on him. The wealthy should not look down on the poor and the less fortunate. And the less fortunate should not look negatively at the wealthy. The religious should not look down on the secular, and the non-religious should not look with disdain toward the traditionalists. Religious. Number two, hang on, watch me. Just hang with me. Remember where we are. We're supposed to remember where we came from, but now number two, remember where we are right now. Look at verse 13. But now, in Christ, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You see, at one time or another, for all of us, we were far off. Some folks longer than others. Some folks further than others. But we were all off. By the way, if you're going to go to hell, is it hell number one and hell number two, hell number three? I mean, the fact is that we're going to miss heaven. Well, I already missed it by that much. Missed it. He says, you were sometimes, there was a time, that's what I mean, there was a time for all of us when we were way off, not anywhere around here, living at a distance from. Says, and now we're made or caused to be nigh. That word nigh means to be near, to squeeze the throttle. In other words, an outside energy or power brought us here. We were made nigh by the blood of Christ. There was something bigger than us that picked us up and brought us to Christ. We were not going to get there on our own. The blood of Christ Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Listen, the blood is the one that breathes. None of us got here on our own. Some of the terrible things that we see on TV recently. And by the way, we don't watch these shows, but there's so many advertisements and killing and all this stuff. And now these days, it seems like you look on TV and you're going to see some body and blood running from the body, whether it's real or conjured up on entertainment. I don't understand that. I'm not getting mad at me here, but you know the Romans used to skewer the Christians and have them burned to keep the lights on during their parties. The Colosseum, they would take them down there and have them fight the lions. That was entertainment, to see people die and see the blood roll. Now, we may be making it up and doing it in Hollywood, but why do we want to watch? I'm sorry, but that's just free. I'm not trying to be mean. But why do we want to see that? I don't want to see somebody hurt. I don't even pretend to see somebody hurt. You better watch what... Listen, we're going to become callous to it. And death and destruction will just seem like a normal thing. Little by little by little by little. That's free. I didn't mean to get into that. But listen, we're made nigh by the blood of Christ. You see the blood flow in some of these TV shows? You remember that Jesus shed his blood. It poured out on the ground like a flood for you. And that's the only reason we have any right to come to the throne of grace, much less be called his child. Sometimes we're like two prisoners in the prison trying to prove which one's the better person. Thank God for the power and the blood. Letter B, we have hope because we have God. And we can have God because of God's grace. I put that in because I want us to remember that. Listen, that's a foundational principle of why we can have unity in the body of Christ. We want to get something accomplished for God. We can have hope because we have God, and we can have God because we have God's grace. We are in Christ, and all that we get being in Christ is ours. Remember where we were, where we came from. Remember where we are. Number three, remember who we are. Remember who we are. We are to be one new man. One new man. You're stuck with me. And I'm stuck with you. As soon as I got saved, I became part of the family. As soon as you got saved, you became part of the family. And we're in the same family, whether you like it or not. We're in the same family. In fact, let's go one step further. We're in the same body. We are the same body of Christ. I live in this house, we're part of the same family, but I'm just going to go stay in my room and ignore the rest of them. Sometimes teenagers do that. They go hide themselves in their room and, you know, it's like they're embarrassed. We shouldn't be going to doing that. But anyway, you can't hide from your family. You're part of the family. In fact, you're part of the same body. You can't separate yourself from the rest of your body. We serve together. You can't say, I just don't want that part. Let's cut it off. No, they're part of the body. You didn't make them part of the body. God made them part of the body. And no one can make them off less than the part of the body but God. And he's not going to do that. He sealed us until the day of redemption. We're stuck with each other. We're all one body. We're one new man. Look at letter B there, the verses there. For he is our peace. That word peace means to set at one. He is our peace who made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition. That means a fence. There was a fence up between us. You know, we have you go down these developments, you know, and they got one house, they have another house, and they have another house, and another house. And the fact is, people put up fences. And, you know, you try yourself to kind of have your own little space. God came along and broke them all down. Jewish people who are saved, they're your brothers and sisters in Christ. Japanese people who are saved, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Chinese people who are saved, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Filipino people who are saved, your brothers and sisters in Christ. African people who are saved are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Romanian people who are saved are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Liberian people, they're your brothers and sisters in Christ. They might show up at your door. They may move in next door to you. Well, I don't particularly, they're kind of strange the way they do. That's not the point. You don't start loving because you like them. You love them because God's love, and he's going to love them through you if you let him. We're one. He's broken down the fence between us, verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. He's abolished. He did away with. He made of none effect in his flesh the hateful hostility and the opposition that was between us, even the law of commandments. Well, we keep the law. Well, you don't keep the law. Listen, none of us are saved by the law. But if we're saved, we will be living in a way that doesn't contradict the law. We'll be learning, we'll be moving that direction. So whether you started on the side of we keep the law, or you were started on the side where we don't care about the law, we'll just do as we please, the fact is we're going to meet in the middle, and by nature, the new generated man keep the law. Whether you were on this side or this side, this is where we all end up at the same place, at the same time. We're all his, and we're going to keep the law because it's by grace, God working through us. There's no enemy here. Well, we all go do so, 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 so. Ah, oh, you don't need to do any of that. Well, yeah, we should do that. But that doesn't make us saved. It's just part of the fruit. It's part of the sanctification showing up in our life. It's amazing how there can be walls put up among people. Let me give you letter C. The wall of partition. There should be no wall between Christians. Well, I just don't talk to them. This one just grates on me. Well, wait a minute. First of all, maybe they're grating because they're not saved. Well, if they're not saved, you know what you ought to do? Love them to Christ. Or maybe they just need to grow. I don't know. But the fact is, if they are saved, love them. Listen, they grate on you. And then you say, you know, you just really burnt my buns. Well, that's going to make her my friend. Huh? That's just going to fix the problem. No, it's not. We're one. I beat up on that part of the body. I'm really beating up on me. We're one body. The Jews put up a wall on their side because they felt that those that did not abide by the laws of God defiled them. But he says, it's not what comes into you that defiles you, it's what comes out of you that defiles you. Oh, on the outside, you look good, you're sharp, but you're whited sepulchers. You're a big tomb, real sharp on the outside, but you're full of dead men's bones on the inside. The Gentiles put up a wall on their side because they thought the laws of God made the Israelites peculiar, strange, unloving,
judgmental. I don't want to be like them. Can't do this, kill them. Can't do that, kill them. Can't do that, kill them.
God said, I'm just telling you what sin does. The wage of sin is death. Well, you know, in the Old Testament, some of those things said, well, you know, that was, do you realize, hey kids, do you realize that the Bible says if you were to talk back to your parents, they could take you out and stone you? If you dare strike your parents, you're dead meat. Well, that's kind of overkill there. I mean, that's kind of pushing it there. God's saying, well, I don't care if it's a big sin, a little sin, the wage of sin is death. The wage of sin is death. And so you got the Gentiles saying, well, we don't need all that stuff. So they put up their wall. The fact is, unrighteousness does not inherit the kingdom of God, nor does self-righteousness inherit the kingdom of God. Neither side of the wall is righteous. We must meet in the middle at the cross of Jesus and find the grace of God. And when we're standing in the grace, no matter where we came from, we're in grace. And all who stand in grace are in grace. We're saved. Letter D, Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our peace. Through Jesus, we have peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have peace with God. We used to be without hope. We were afar off, but we're part of the family by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Letter E, when we become one with Christ, we become one with all others who are one with Christ. When we become one with Christ, we become one with all others who are also one with Christ. The religious had to be brought to Christ. The irreligious had to be brought to Christ. You see what I'm saying? Both needed to be born again. Both needed to be regenerated. Both needed to be made new. See, the man looks on the outside, we think, wow, he's really got it all together. He may not. We come to Christ by the grace of God. And if we would just all realize that guy came to grace, boy, it's a good thing God saved that boy. He sure needed his grace. Yeah, so do we. We all needed his grace. Well, look at me. I come from a whole family. Listen, now he's not like this. But his daddy was a pastor. Wasn't your granddaddy somehow in the ministry? Was another one before that? So at least three generations. Okay, means nothing. We all have to come alone by the grace of God. The Bixler boys were here, and I know that Joel's down south. Jonathan Bixler, who preached for our men's fellowship, the pastor. His brother's a pastor, at least one of them. His wife is, he's got two brothers who are pastors. James is a pastor. He's got a wife who's married to a pastor. His sister's married to a pastor. His daddy's a pastor. His daddy's daddy was a pastor. His daddy's daddy was a pastor. And they're good family. But you know what those boys had to come to know Christ? And I think one of the reasons God has used those people because they're not high, they really aren't. They're very humble people. They really are. If you put up a wall, there's contention. It's because of pride. And where's the pride? Where's the boasting? It's all of Christ, none of us. He's our peace. Watch me. Not only is he our peace with God, but he's our peace with one another. When we truly realize who we are. Number four, reconciliation. Reconciliation. You'll see this. We are one new man in Christ. Look at verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. And let me explain this. God brought all of us together from both sides.
The religious, we're working our way there. The irreligious, I don't care, just do whatever you want. Doesn't matter about the law.
Both are dead in sins and trespasses. It may be the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, or maybe the pride of life. Either way, we're lost in sin.
God brought all of us together from both sides, those that think that God should take them just as they are, sin and all, and those that think they can actually live according to the law of God and make themselves acceptable. He said, going to take both of them. Both are wrong. Both ideas, both works are futile. It says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one by the cross, having slain the enemy, killed, Jesus put to death the reason for the hostility. Jesus put to death the reason for any contention. He put to death for anyone's right to any pride. He put it to death. Slain. Jesus put to death the reason for hostility between the two views, because both views are wrong. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We heard that earlier in the chapter. Letter C. Both sides need to be saved. Both sides need to be saved. Verse 17, it came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. Well, they looked good. They really looked good. And really, they were trying to find God, but they hadn't. But they might have been afar off. Listen, they were so far away from God, you couldn't believe it. You see, preach peace to both of them. Preach peace to those who were near and those who were far off. Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. I don't care. Listen, we may have somebody come in here off the street. She may have been a streetwalker. Some guy selling drugs. I don't know what it might be. It could, hey, watch me. It could be a murderer. But we are made nigh. We both have access for one reason. The blood of Jesus, who saves us and allows us to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And through that Spirit, we have access to God. We have access to God by the Holy Spirit. The murderer is sitting right now on death row, who someone gave them the gospel, has access to God through the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He may have to pay for his sins for the rest of his life. But the guy is our brother in Christ. I have preached in prisons. I remember the time I went down to Baltimore City prison. I mean, we're talking death row prison. And when they clanged that door shut, this was a long time ago. I've been in now prison so many times now. Well, your preacher's been in prison, all kinds of jails. But anyway, it doesn't bother me. But I remember the first time I was in my early 20s, and I was supposed to go down there and sing. We were going to have a big service down there. And they clanged that door shut. I thought, oh my soul, I'm locked in with these guys. But the fact is, though there were some guys in that service I know that, you know, weren't saved yet. But you know what? There's a God-sized hole in everybody's heart that any God can fill. And when it all comes down to that, you know what? Listen, sometimes the biggest murderers are nothing but a bunch of little teddy bears. There's somebody's little boy that needs to know somebody loves them. I'm serious. There's somebody's little boy. So they did so-and-so. The same reason a little boy on a bus didn't like somebody took my candy and they smacked him. Not justifying it. But it just they don't know what to do. They're far off. And they took things in their own hands and had things accessible to them they probably shouldn't have had, but there we go. The same Spirit of God that can save from the uttermost is the same God that must save those who are religious. Letter D. We may be coming from different directions, yet we all must be saved the same way, by grace, through faith. I know this sounds redundant. I hope that we will realize this. If we don't get this point, we have failed. We are saved by grace through faith. The same other guy there, well, he had to be saved by grace through faith because there's no other way you could save. And is there any way we can get saved?
Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation and amends maker through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what? Law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Listen, we're all saved through faith. There is no place to have pride. If there's no place to be proud or boasting, then there should be no contention. And we can be one body in Christ without conflict, serving Him without restraint. And when we give ourselves the Holy Spirit, it's amazing what God will do. This room should be filled tonight. The body of Christ is to go out and win the folks to Christ. When's the last time you gave somebody the gospel? When's the last time that person down at the grocery store? You know what? You start letting the Holy Spirit live through you. You'll be surprised how people will start telling you their problems. Well, I don't want to hear their problems. God just opened their heart to you. Take them to the one that heals the wounds. Don't pass by the opportunity. By the way, when we get finished Matthew, will probably be in about 2017. No, but on Wednesday night we finish Matthew. I'm going to stop our little walk through the Bible just for probably 10, 12 weeks, if it's that long. And I'm going to teach you to win somebody to the Lord. It's going to be very simple, very sweet. It's all said and done, even enough redundant that you're going to say, man, I could preach this thing if I had to. Okay? You put that at a Wednesday night. We're going to get done. We're in Union chapter 21 of Matthew. We've got to go all the way to 28. So, but we're going to do that. Meantime, get some tracts out there and memorize it. Hand it out. You are the body of Christ. You're sealed until the day of redemption with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that convicts, it reproves the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You have Him. Take Him with you. Give the gospel. Do you know why you're saved? Well, then you should at least be able to tell them how you got saved. I knew I was a sinner headed for hell, and Jesus died and paid for all my sins. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can do that much. At least get their juices rolling. And then stick the preacher on them or one of the pastors if you need to, but get their juices rolling. Realize that, listen, if God will take them just like they are, forgive their sin and give them a home in heaven, would you let them do it? Would they let them do it? If we are one man, we should not be fighting against ourselves. Man does not fight against himself. It's suicide. It's crazy. It's self-defeating. It's a shame and an embarrassment to the Father. We're more embarrassed about some poor child who has some kind of physical affliction that, you know, that hurts himself. We're embarrassed about that, but we can stand there and rake somebody, one of our fellow members of the body, rake them over the coals to somebody else. We're basically fighting ourselves, and we justify it somehow. Cutting each other to pieces. Devouring one another. Now, we don't have a lot of that around. We really don't. But we don't need to have any of that. Not any. Number 5. Remember what we are. Remember what we are. We are to be the habitation of Christ, built by God through the Spirit. The habitation of Christ, built by God through the Spirit. We are all from the same background. Watch, verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. That means we're natives of the same city. And the city's heaven, the city of God. We're from the same town. Maybe we didn't start out from the same town, but we're from the same town now. He says, we are fellow citizens with the saints. Let's say it this way, same in godly character. We have the same genes. And we're fellow citizens of the same household of God. We should have the same practice. We act much the same. We live in union together. That's where we're supposed to be. We're all just sinners saved by grace. We're all part of the same family, if only by adoption. And we had better accept the fact that there are all kinds of people in our family. And if you think some people are not good enough to be part of your family, then you have forgotten where you were when God came looking for your sorry soul and dug you out of the miry clay and put your feet on a solid rock. I don't think they should be here. Well, we shouldn't be here. Do we forget where we came from? And he, listen, not a, he put us on a rock and he took you home with him and adopted you, dirt and all, and making you accepted as one of the beloved. And then he started the process of cleaning you up and refining you so you can fill your role in the family. Verse 20. It says, we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Listen, they started it all and we are to continue it.
Well, that's for the apostles. Well, that's for this.
That's for you. Do you realize we're part of the same body of Christ? God's going to join all things in heaven and earth together. We're part of the same body of Christ as Peter the apostle. We're part of the same body of Christ as Paul, John. We're part of the same body of Christ. Ladies, you're part of the same body of Christ as Lois and Eunice, the mother and grandmother of Timothy. We're all part of the same body of Christ. Well, that they were special. Most of the apostles were a bunch of fishermen. They weren't anybody special. They're sinners saved by grace. What they started, we're supposed to continue. Verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together, in union together, organized and properly jointed. God knows exactly who you are. He's got a place for you. He wants you to fit in and fill your spot. We're part of the body of Christ. Dr. Lee Robertson, I don't know whether he broke his finger or what he did, but he always used to laugh about the fact, have faith in God. Come back. That's what we talk. But every time he preached like that, He'd point to you, but the finger would do this. And he used to kind of laugh. Have faith in God. Die to self. Christ come back. Almost every message he had, that's what it was. Have faith in God. Die to self. Christ come back. And he'd point his finger there. Awful nice that finger worked the way it's supposed to. But sometimes we're part of that body of Christ that's not working the way it's supposed to. All fitly joined together. You know, some of us, we know where we're supposed to be. We're trying to wiggle out of it. We just don't want to fill our role. We want to do this, or we want to do that. Well, maybe one of these days you will do that. But do what you're faithful in right now. Tom Sexton, he was supposed to be up here for our Bible conference. But anyway, he was an adult, married when he got saved. Now, Tom Sexton has preached all over the world. Pastors a good church down in Cape Coral, Florida. He's a good guy. The Lord has blessed him in a very great way. When he joined the church, he had a ponytail, lime green leisure suit, and a Bible that matched. And he was ready. He said he went to a Bible conference. Instead of saying amen down there, they went, huh, huh, kind of grunted. He said he grunted until he could grunt no more. He had no voice. It was good stuff. You know, and I was going, you know, but he grunted. He didn't know what it was all about. He went to his preacher and said, he says, is there anything I can do? And the preacher said, well, I'll tell you, we're running two services on Sunday morning. No, I'm sorry, he was running Sunday school and church services. He says, our facilities are pretty full. Would you go into the men's room between the Sunday school and church and just make sure there's plenty of paper products? And if there's any issues, would you just take care of that? Well, sure. So that's what his job was. He was a grown man. He was married. He got saved. He asked the preacher, what can I do? He says, I'll tell you what, clean the bathroom. So he cleaned the bathroom. And then he went out and grunted during the message. And God blessed him as he served. Ended up back in Bible college. Ended up being bus director at Highland Park Baptist Church for a while, one of the largest churches in all of America. Now pastors of church. God's got, my guess is his vision was not to clean the bathroom the rest of his life. But if that's what God asked him to do, well, maybe that's what we should do right now. I'm saying give ourselves, yield ourselves to him. Be the body, union together. Watch, growing unto a holy temple, sacred, blameless, blameless dwelling for God and the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation, a dwelling place. We're all part of the body of Christ. He lives in us. Does it look like he lives here? Does he look like he lives in your part of the house? In whom you also build together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. The Spirit makes us. We should have the fruit of the Spirit. We should have the Spirit make a difference in our lives. We are living stones that build the spiritual temple of Christ. We are all just blocks in the building. We may look different. We may have a different place. We're placed in different areas, but we're just stones. You go out and look at a picture of the other building. I'm almost done here. But if you go out and look at the picture we're hoping to build here next year or so, there's some stones that are cut on the face. They're kind of cut and rough, and some of them are long and skinny. Some are bigger and fat. Some are smooth. They're just stones. Now, we may want some here and some here, and this look like this here, and this look like that. Puts it all together and makes a nice package. But we're all stones. If we took one block out of the front wall of our building, just one, what about 8x16 block, just pull it out. We'll have bugs in here. Probably have birds in here. In the wintertime, we're going to have cold in here. When it rains and blows across there, comes in from the west, we're going to have a mess. But it's $1.10. How much does a concrete block cost now? Buck or two? But without it, there's a hole. We're not complete. It's not going to be able to accomplish what we need to accomplish. Can you imagine people coming to the front door and say, they got a hole in the front wall of their church? Why can't somebody fill that thing? They got a hole in the nursery, and there's more kids than there are ants in the backyard. They need a few extra workers. They need somebody there just to rock the baby. They need a couple of people to sit in the back while the teacher teaches. They need a few more people to ride on the bus, just love on the kids. You say, why are we doing that? Because somebody's not filling their hole. We're the body of Christ.
Well, I don't want to work with that person.
You don't work with somebody else who also belongs to your body? I got a funny toenail. And I don't like it. It was part of my body. Got to put up with it. We're part of the body of Christ. No contention. We're one new man. And the fact is, I'd rather be part of a body with a funny toenail than not part of the body. Daddy decides who's in the family. We must not be the ugly stepsisters fighting and rejecting our fellow adopted brothers and sisters. We are not just part of the same family, we're part of the same body, one new man. Father, thank you for speaking to us here this evening. Lord, help us just to remember that we all got here by grace. We're all going to heaven by grace. We're all part of the same family. Whether we came from something very religious or came from something that maybe was considered wild and way far away from the things of God, it makes no difference. We all needed to come by grace. Lord, I thank you for our church. I thank you for the sweet spirit that we have. And Lord, if we can just remember where we came from, what we are, where we're headed, I think we'll keep our body in union, fitly framed together. Thank you for what you're doing. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.